Roger, it's always a pleasure to have a chance to visit with you here at our NAFB meeting in Kansas City. And gosh, there are so many things that we could spend some time talking about. But let me ask, is your to-do list in Washington getting any shorter?
You know, almost all of our time and efforts these last 2 months have been focused on farm bill. And they started with a very different focus and did a U-turn when this super committee process sort of came upon us. But we were looking at sort of rolling out a major initiative that will cost a lot less money, hopefully do a lot better job of protecting farm income when prices collapse. And we just sort of put that on a hold when it looked like there was going to be a serious attempt to bring something through the super committee. And have been meeting with members mostly in the Senate side. That's where most of the action has been, but also on the House side, in trying to get to a point where there will be a farm bill that will be somehow rolled into this super committee process. Interestingly, and you have to give the leaders of the agriculture committees credit in Congress, they're the only ones that have taken the legal charge that happened with this super committee process legislation seriously. What that law contemplated was that all the committees of jurisdiction would come to these 12 members with proposals on where to save money. And so far, it's only the agriculture committees that have taken that charge up and are trying to do something with it. Now, and there's a lot of criticism of, you know, this the farm bill being written behind closed doors, and there haven't been any hearings, and there hasn't been a markup, and nobody knows what's going on. And we share all those frustrations. Everyone knew when they started down this path that it was a brand new path. It had never been walked before. They didn't know how to do it. They knew they couldn't do hearings in the abbreviated amount of time that they had. They knew that they wouldn't be able to conference a bill in that abbreviated amount of time. And so, for better or worse, this is the process we're in. I think, and there have been a lot of frayed nerves along the way. I think the good news is that there are very serious conversations taking place. And that we are hopefully getting to the point where very soon we'll be seeing language. And I think that's really a major reason for frayed nerves, is you got people talking about ideas, but how do you expect someone to sign off on something without seeing it in black and white? Because the devil's always in the details of these kinds of programs, especially when you're eliminating a bunch of programs and you're trying to create one new one. Maybe more than one new one. Who knows? You have to put it in writing so people can react to it. And that's not only true for us that are trying to sort of influence what the legislation looks like, but it's arguably even more so the case for members of the Senate Ag Committee, members of the House Ag Committee, who also want to see the stuff that their leaders are going to be presenting on their behalf to the Super Committee.
Roger, let me ask, once we get through this process and you're able to check the farm bill off your to-do list, what's the next issue facing agriculture?
I think that one of the unfortunate things about this process is there is so little conversation about all the other parts of the farm bill. I mean, most of the conversation has been about where the cut's going to happen, and most of the cuts are going to happen in the commodity title. And then there will be cuts in the conservation title, and then there will be smaller cuts in the nutrition title. That's where all the money is. The good news is crop insurance largely being left alone. I say good news, but it's kind of a good news, bad news thing, because I think we need to be making some changes. We need to have some creative thinking about crop insurance happening here too. It just is impossible for it to happen in this process. So I think what's really going to happen, if we presume that this process is successful and the super committee passes the farm bill, I think then we're going to spend our time analyzing what was passed and trying to fix the glitches in that. And there are bound to be a lot of them. Every time there's a farm bill passed, even in regular order, there are unintended, you know, consequences that happen along the way as you try new things and something doesn't work quite the way folks had envisioned. That's bound to be even more the case in this abbreviated process where there aren't hearings and you don't have a lot of input from different people and back and forth. Certainly one of our concerns is that I think without a doubt the most successful rural development strategy this country has employed in my lifetime has been around renewable energy. And that didn't all happen by accident. I mean, much of that happened because of incentives that were provided. The last farm bill had an energy title, major programs as a part of that. And there are provisions in there that we ought to be looking at and adjusting for the future. I mean, corn ethanol has largely hit its cap under the renewable fuel standard. We need to be rethinking how we're going to advance sort of the advanced biofuels element of what's called the RFS2. When that was first written, we hadn't done any of this stuff yet. And people were imagining what it was going to look like. Well, we know a lot more about what it's going to look like, and we ought to be redesigning some of those structures to better fit what it looks like today. We're not doing that. This farm bill is almost... There's been virtually no conversation about that, and that worries us an awful lot because it's an important priority. One could say the same thing about the rural development title, about the research title. I mean, who's talked about research in this farm bill? Who's talked about the livestock title in this farm bill? I mean, you've got all these other pieces of the farm bill that's a very big, comprehensive document. And the conversations have been about these real focused areas of it, not about the rest. So I think when this passes, if it passes, we're going to be spending a lot of time looking at the rest of it and then trying to figure out, is there a way we can solve these glitches administratively? Or are we going to have to go back to Congress and try and get fixes for them? And, you know, that whole, there's going to be a lot of work to be done.
Are there still things that your members and folks in the country can be doing as this continues to move?
Well, certainly understanding what it is step one. And then helping to educate us and others about what's the current state of affairs? I mean, the world keeps changing, and it changes pretty rapidly in agriculture. And we need to adjust policies as the world changes to try and figure out, how best to accommodate those changes, to accelerate the ones that we like, to push back against the changes that we think are in the wrong direction. We just need to be constantly reevaluating this. And I know that our state conventions are in full force right now. They're happening all around the country. Our national convention comes up in March. We will certainly know the outcome of this process by then. And I would expect that we'll have a lot of debate about what should be done about this. How should it be changed? What should the new priorities be? We'll see a lot of conversation about the energy stuff that I've talked about. I think we'll see a lot of conversation about nutrition. You're hearing more and more people in the rest of society talking about where their food comes from, wanting to know more about how their food was produced, wanting to, you know, try and figure out a way to sort of slide this body politic in the U.S. to a position of eating more healthy foods and doing things that are going to impact our health in a positive way, and we're seeing more and more research come out about that. And there are growing forces that would like to see changes in the farm bill that recognize and work with those sorts of trends. And frankly, I think our members would be in agreement with that. I mean, we need to be, we can't afford to be stuck in the past. We need to be out there on the cutting edge. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I'm so proud of our North Dakota organization when they built Founding Farmers, the restaurant out in D.C. And, you know, it's about telling the story of to the rest of the country about what agriculture is like. One of the pieces that we publish every month is the Farmer's Share of the Food Dollar, which that's a very important, very elementary piece of the story that the consumers need to know. And many of them really want to know. There's a growing interest in knowing these kinds of things. And we ought to be figuring out how do we get more in sync with that.
Roger, it's always a pleasure to have a chance to sit down and visit with you and get your thoughts on the process and what's going on in Washington, D.C.
Good to be with you.